This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
A happy holiday season to all. Just a few days after Christmas as we approach the new year. Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you alongside Nathan Williams. Hanging around for the next 4 hours or so. Talking a whole lot of sports this morning. We'll also talk some Christmas as well. I got a nice old question of the day regarding the Christmas season. Monday's lunch partner here on Cody and Gold, sponsored by 30 Hop. They are our Monday lunch partner here on Cody and Gold. Listen, things are not great for the Chiefs right now. They're frankly a little bit embarrassing, if we're being completely honest with ourselves, obviously. I mean, team 6-10, everybody's hurt or on IR or not hurt and on IR at this point. We don't know. But, hey, small consolation is that that game on Christmas might have been more embarrassing for the Broncos. I mean, come on. Really? That's the struggle you have, Denver. Mind you, this is the one seed in the AFC, I'll point out. Now, yeah, all right, you may be saying like, oh, small consolation. Hey, small victories are what we have right now, Chiefs fans. Yeah, the Broncos beat us, but they beat us by 7 with all their horses. No Jalen Watson, no Trent McDuffie, and Bo Nix only threw for 182 yards. He threw a pick in this football game, which, hey man, shout out Nick Bolton. I don't know, did you see that, Nathan? A football hit Nick Bolton directly in the hands, and he managed to catch it. Somewhat of a miracle.
It's like fifth time's a charm?
Yeah.
Is that what they say?
I guess so, because the number of times that we have seen a football, whether it be thrown directly at him or at caroms off of an opposing player or another defender, a tip drill situation, and he finds unique ways to drop the football. This time he didn't. The ball did hit the ground as he caught it, but it didn't move around. He was able to hold on to it. Again, no Jalen Watson, no Trent McDuffie. You threw for 182 yards. That's embarrassing, Denver. The Chiefs ran 41 offensive plays. They had 66 yards passing and 82 yards rushing. They had less than 150 yards of offense. And again, you only won by 7. This is a one seed? This is a team that people are talking about having a legitimate chance of winning a Super Bowl. I didn't buy it then, and I don't buy it now.
I'm not sure who people are. I'm not taking them as a serious Super Bowl contender. I mean, I guess like they'll have the one seed, so they all they have to do is win two games at home, assuming they don't lose and New England wins next weekend or Jacksonville or anybody else. And I think the Chargers are going to be resting at least some of their team. So I'm presuming the Broncos have the one seed. It'd be the easiest path. I don't see this team beating Buffalo and New England or Houston and Buffalo or combinations of those teams in back-to-back weeks. Not after the performance they put up against Chris Oladokun on Christmas.
I mean, they have a defense that is capable of winning a Super Bowl. That I don't think should be argued, right? But so do the Houston Texans. And I don't think the Texans are a Super Bowl contender. Their offense is going to have to do enough at some point in this postseason. And I'm not sure they're capable of it. I like RJ Harvey, but I just don't think he's there yet to be a featured every down back. Maybe he will be at some point. I don't know. But 3.1 yards a carry on Christmas Day doesn't really impress me, not with a Chiefs team that was without so many guys. I mean, obviously most of it was in the secondary, but you know, no Leo Chenal in that game. And so they were a little banged up on the front seven as well. You managed 128 yards as a team on 32 carries, but the majority of that came off the legs of Bo Nix, who ran for 42 yards on his own on 9 touches, and Jaleel McLaughlin, who had 7 carries for 40. I am with you. I think that if you end up in a scenario where if you're Denver, and you even if you have home field advantage, even if New England is coming to Mile High Stadium in Denver, the Broncos' defense is better than the Patriots' defense. I will not argue that. But the Patriots' offense is light years better than the Broncos' offense. So if the Broncos play a good offensive game, I still think the Patriots are still capable of putting 18 to 24 points on that Broncos defense. I don't think that the Broncos' offense is talented enough or capable enough to match that score in the inverse.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I think I would take either New England or Buffalo to beat Denver if it is in Denver because of their ability to control the game on the ground. Now, no matter who they play, the opponent's going to have to get into a defensive, grind it out, maybe inclement weather, sort of just nasty, sloppy football game. Houston, I believe, they can't control the line of scrimmage as well, at least offensively. And so then the Broncos' defensive formula comes into play, right? Get home with your front four, have that sticky secondary, you know, all over Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz and Profit. Man, James Cook or, you know, Henderson and Stevenson, they stay ahead of the sticks. I think it's a long day for Denver. I don't think anyone, I don't think Denver's going to be able to keep up offensively with anybody. The difference is, well, maybe there's not that dominant offense in the bracket, so that plays to Denver's favor. So, the teams that can run the football and sort of control the game offensively are the ones that I think match up poorly for Denver. So can they avoid those teams? Like, can New England and Buffalo play each other in the divisional round based on matchups, and so Denver advances? I mean, sure, but I think eventually they will have to play one of those teams. And even if it's at home, I'm not taking them seriously. I'm not picking them in that matchup.
Yeah, so as of right now, you're looking at Buffalo is the 7 and New England is the 2. So congratulations, Patriots. You won the division and you're the 2 seed in the AFC. Your prize is you have to play the Bills a third time. Hey, you get them at home at least, but I don't really want to play Buffalo 3 times if I'm New England. Now, there's definitely a real chance that they could leapfrog a little bit, could the Buffalo Bills, with the Chargers playing the Broncos this week. And like you said, LA may rest some of their guys because they don't really have anything to play for right now. And Houston, currently sitting with the 5 seed, they've got the Colts on Sunday, a Colts team that is 0-3 since the loss of Daniel Jones, or 0-4 even, maybe. But I think that Buffalo's probably going to be the 6 seed I would say. I think Los Angeles probably loses to Denver next week, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. So New England might be able to avoid Buffalo, at least in the wild card round, and likely ends up playing the Chargers. But I'm with you. I think that you're going to have to face one of the two sooner rather than later. And I hate that I look around the rest of the AFC and nobody else really jumps out. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars are 12-4, but they don't jump out to me as a real, as a serious, like, championship contender. They just don't. Frankly, nobody in the AFC jumps out as a championship contender. I think if I'm a team in the NFC, if the NFC doesn't win the Super Bowl this year, that should be looked at as a massive, massive disappointment for that conference. Because anybody with eyes who is watching the NFL this season will say the NFC is the better of the two leagues inside the NFL, and it's not particularly close.
Yeah, it's not close. I'm with you.
And the crazy thing is that the Seahawks are looking to possibly be the one seed in that league. Yeah. And I'm not sure they're the fourth best team in the NFC, which is just, again, goes to show you that the NFL has been a bizarre, bizarre league this year.
I do think the AFC might be more competitive, though. I think the teams might be more evenly matched, even though the talent is much, much better on the NFC side. I think there are probably five NFC teams I would take to win the AFC if they were in that bracket.
Agreed.
I'm taking any of the three NFC West teams. I'm definitely taking the Eagles and probably the Bears to win the AFC bracket if they were just on that side. Now, I don't think the NFC South winner has a real chance. And the Packers without Micah Parsons, I don't think they're winning three road playoff games. In the AFC, I might think the Packers would have a real chance as well. So maybe six teams would be viewed as like near favorites in the AFC. Whereas on that side, I mean, who doesn't have a chance? Like, I've seen every team in the AFC lose games they shouldn't lose and win games they shouldn't win. Like the Steelers lost to the Browns yesterday, but then have turned around and beat really good teams. The AFC North champion is probably the only weak link, in my opinion, in the AFC playoffs. But it's a field where, you know, Logan, a second ago, you said you don't think the Houston Texans are Super Bowl contenders. I absolutely think they are Super Bowl contenders. I think they might be the third best team in the AFC.
Mm.
And that's less due to like how good they are and more of an indictment on the conference as a whole.
I don't disagree. I don't. I mean, Jacksonville has obviously, first and foremost, I think found its identity a little bit. Trevor Lawrence in the last 2 months of this season has found himself a little bit more. It took him a little bit. But I think right around that Chiefs game, you know, beating Kansas City, I think kind of unlocked a little bit of something in Trevor Lawrence. And he has been a much better player since then. And I mean, he didn't throw for a touchdown yesterday against the Colts, but still threw for 263 yards and completed 62% of his throws. Did have one pick, but in the last 4 weeks, this man has 10 touchdowns to one interception and has well over 1,100 yards passing. Really, really solid numbers for Trevor Lawrence as of late. You know, one thing, Bink was going to do the show this morning. I got called in last minute to do it. Bink, in discussing the game on Thursday, he makes the take of you can't call the Chiefs poorly coached after that game on Thursday. And I kind of go back and forth. I see where his sentiment comes from of this team's playing with backups and third stringers and lost to what could be the one seed in the conference by a single, you know, possession. I'm not sure what to make of you can't call the Chiefs poorly coached after that game.
Well, I think, I don't want to speak for Bink, but I think it's fair to say he's really upset at the fire Andy Reid takes.
Uh-huh.
And so I think we would have been in for a good dosage of a lecture probably from Bink if he were in today. But, you know, Miss Bink, glad you're in today, Logan. I'm glad we're still able to do this thing. I'm with him to an extent. I think Andy Reid, more so than being the offensive, you know, mastermind or genius, is a leader of men. He knows how to get guys to pull on the same end. All those things, the rah-rah, the players coach, whatever you want to throw out there about Andy Reid. I do think there are significant coaching issues elsewhere on this team. I think there's a need for a new voice offensively on the special team side at multiple position groups, especially offensively. And I think more than anything, there's flexibility that's needed within Andy Reid's structure. But I'm absolutely with Jay Binkley when it comes to Andy Reid. The fire Andy Reid conversations are insane. There is no reason. And when you're looking at it from this side of the coin, instead of the Broncos being embarrassed, there's no reason that the number one seed should almost fall to a team quarterbacked by Chris Oladokun, where Jalen Royals is your starting receiver. Tackles are Chu Godrick and Esipole. Like, all due respect to those guys. And Esipole, by the way, has played really well. Those guys have no business competing with the one seed in the AFC. They just don't. So you do have to give credit where it's due when it comes to Andy Reid.
Oh, I don't disagree. You know, I think a lot of my pushback this year has been on the people's complaints of Matt Nagy. And my statement has been that we're blaming a symptom rather than maybe a larger collective part of the disease itself, which, you know, I'm not advocating for the firing of Andy Reid. I never have been. I feel like we're definitely leapfrogging way too hard in that situation. You're really putting the cart before the horse a little bit. There's obviously things wrong, and Andy has to do some things differently. And he's going to be the first one to try to identify what those things are, because he knows something's wrong. But advocating for the firing of a guy after you just went to back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls, winning two of the three, that's, you're going way too far, way too fast in that situation. And my thought is, those that are advocating for firing Matt Nagy is like, are you really saying fire Andy Reid, but you just don't have the guts to say it? That's always been my pushback on it. And we'll talk maybe a little bit more of that scenario coming up with Matt Nagy, because some interesting details have come out regarding his contract, which is set to expire at the end of the year. And we may talk about where we think things go from there. Somebody in the text line said it was more of an indictment on the Broncos than a kudos for the Chiefs. And I mean, I really agree with that. This is a team you had to bury. I mean, everybody in the league is burying the Raiders right now. Everybody in the league is burying the Jets right now. The Chiefs right now, with all the injuries that they have and all the guys that are sitting here at the end of the year, let's be honest, are sitting in that category with backups and third stringers, guys that would not start on other teams in this league even. You got to bury them. When a team's down, don't let them up. And the Broncos more or less played for their food for 60 minutes and let this thing stay really, really close. Listen, the Chiefs were leading at halftime. The Kansas City Chiefs were up at halftime of this football game. False, it was a division game and they are always played close. Also, Broncos just dropped the ball multiple times. Division games are always played close. Always. Like, exclusively, division games are always close. Is that why the Vikings beat the Lions by 2 scores on Christmas Day? Is that why, for example, the Patriots hung 42 on the Jets yesterday? I mean, I understand that when you play teams twice a year, the games are going to be a little bit more tightly contested, but not when it's a terrible football team. The Chiefs beat the Raiders 31-0 earlier this year. Absolutely walked them down. I don't necessarily agree with the sentiment that it was a division game and that's the reason why it was close. I think anybody in their right mind that would see Chris Oladokun starting at quarterback for the Chiefs would have anticipated the Chiefs getting blown out by the Denver Broncos.
it's not even about the Chiefs' success on offense. To me, it's their success on defense that gives me pause about Denver going into the playoffs. Like, this is a defense that I saw Cam Ward go through like a hot knife and butter in the second half of that football game. The Tennessee Titans, who have like a Umanor and DK are their wide receivers, yeah, and a Conquo. Like, there's a whole bunch of nobodies on that field.
Just lost to the Saints.
Sure.
With Tyler Shott.
And they put up 26 against the Saints, which I guess is what they, wasn't it 26 or so?
Yeah, 34-26.
The Chiefs as well. So they've hung almost 30 in back-to-back weeks. So the offense has been fine. But to see the Chiefs defense struggle like that and to look, you know, I wasn't surprised by that. Like, they had been eliminated from the playoffs. Cam Ward is a rookie. Like, I'm not surprised that the Chiefs lost that game. But to see the defense sort of come back into shape against the Broncos, that's what I'm worried about. Are they susceptible to the pass rush against a team that has something to play for, like Houston or Buffalo? I think so. So I'm not surprised. And to be fair, the Chiefs put up 13 points. It's not like they had some level of offensive success that is like worrisome. I'm not worried about that Broncos defense at all. It's the Broncos keeping up with another team offensively, and it's the Chiefs' defensive success that worries me about Denver coming out of that game.
Yeah, I mean, you ran 70 offensive plays comparatively to 41 for the Kansas City Chiefs. You ran almost 30 more plays than the Chiefs did and amassed barely 100 more yards against a beaten down and broken Chiefs defense that just got meleeed by the three-win Tennessee Titans last week. You should have put up a better offensive display than that. But, you know, it's an interesting discourse I'm finding this week via social media, and all year for that matter, of how much credit the Denver Broncos are getting this year for doing more or less the exact same thing that the Chiefs did last year. Does everybody recall this? The Chiefs go 12-0 in one score games last year, including the playoffs. And everybody's like, oh, well, they're just getting lucky, or the refs are in their pocket and they get all the calls. No credit whatsoever for the Chiefs' ability to win in big moments. And now this year, the Broncos, which if you include Thursday's game, are now 11-2. In games decided by 8 points or less, including 11 in a row. Their first 2 one-score games this year, they lost both. And then they've won 11 straight since. Why are they getting all of this credit and all of this praise heaped upon them when the Chiefs were getting laughed at about it last year? What, you know?
See, I'm not sure Denver is nationally. Maybe.
I saw Dan Orlovsky just showering them with praise on social media this week.
And well, then I think Dan Orlovsky is incorrect. And I think, you know, you're correct in terms of outside of locally, the Chiefs were getting hated on last year. And not that that was wrong, but the Chiefs have a roster and an organization buoyed by Hall of Famers. So there is something more to the argument of they know how to win games than I see when it comes to Bo Nix in Denver. So when I see Bo Nix put up 33 against the Giants to scrape out a win in the fourth quarter, or when I see him beat the Jets 13-11, I'm less likely to believe that's going to happen in the playoffs than I am when it's Patrick Mahomes. Sure, the Chiefs won some games in some crazy fashions last year. The block-off, the doink for the division, overtime walk-offs. I know I'm forgetting a few just crazy ways in which the Chiefs win football games.
Yeah.
Then they also won a nail biter in the divisional round, which shouldn't have been close, but it was, I think, a 1-point game going into the fourth quarter, and then won another classic AFC championship game. Now, it all fell apart in the Super Bowl. And so those same national fans would say, see, I told you it was coming. I've got no reason to believe that in close games against CJ Stroud and Josh Allen, which was the Chiefs' path last year, that Bo Nix is going to make the big play in two straight games. None. I have no reason. Mm-hmm. So that the difference between Bo Nix and Mahomes, Kelsey, and crew, that is what's different between the Chiefs and the Broncos.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm with you. You know, you mentioned the Eagles game last year where things all kind of came crashing down for the Kansas City Chiefs. Is this potentially a sign of things to come for the Denver Broncos? Because, yes, their defense is so talented, it's going to keep them in every game. right? I mean, it is one of, if not the best collective defensive unit in football. I would argue that the Houston Texans are definitely in that conversation
as well.
I would. But the offense is going to have to put up or shut up at some point. And no, I'm not talking about scoring 35 points in the fourth quarter to beat the Jackson Dart-led New York Giants in week six. I'm talking about having to go play for play, band for band with Josh Allen in a January playoff game. I'm talking about Bo Nix having to out-duel or keep pace with a Drake May, who's probably going to be a second-team All-Pro this year. That's the conversation that I'm having. And I just don't think he's got it. And frankly, he may not even have to go band for band with Josh Allen if they play Buffalo, because James Cook is the engine that is driving this Buffalo Bills team this year. And he's taking a lot of pressure off of Josh Allen, and they need him to with all the ankle issues that he's dealing with right now. I did see the report that the x-rays came back negative, so there's no broken bones or real structural damage to Josh Allen's ankle, but he's a little bit hobbled right now. 913-586-7965 is our number. More coming up. We're going to have Jordan Foote on with us at 11 o'clock today. Monday's football coverage is presented to you by Busey Bank. When they're focused on your success at Busey Bank, they've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. Logan Weber alongside Nathan Williams. Let's talk about the NFL as a whole, all right? Week 17 is almost complete. Well, who do we think is going to get the one seed? Who's going to win certain divisions that are still up for grabs? As well as the award race is coming down to the finish line finally. Who comes away with some hardware once the regular season is complete? That's next here on Cody and Gold, 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We have a game in a week left in the NFL regular season, and there's still some races Still some things to be hashed out across both the AFC and the NFC, not just in terms of seeding for the playoffs, but in terms of some division winners. And it's going to be a fascinating last week of the regular season to see how these things ultimately play out. Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. Cody, Alex, and Drew all out with it being the holiday season, hopefully enjoying their Christmas holiday as many of us did, as well as the New Year, which is coming up New Year's Eve, of course, on Wednesday into New Year's Day. So I'll be with you guys today and tomorrow. Nathan Williams is my producer for the show this morning as well. And, you know, I figure we just kind of lead with the NFC side of things. You look at that conference. Right now, the Seattle Seahawks hold on to the one seed. The Bears are the two. The Eagles are the three. Now, the Bears and the Eagles are in no way, shape, or form going to win the NFC. The Seahawks are at 13-3, so those guys being the 2 and the 3 seed has no bearing on who the 1 seed ultimately is. The 1 seed will reside in the NFC West. The race comes down to more or less two teams, right? Seahawks and the 49ers. Whoever wins this Week 18 game is going to win the NFC West. If the Seahawks lose, the Niners win the division. If the Seahawks win, they win the division. Kind of feel bad for the Los Angeles Rams, who could be sitting at, you know, if they win tonight and they win next week, they're 13-4. But if the Niners win, they're the one seed, I believe, correct?
Yeah, that's right. If there's a tie, I think the Seahawks are in anyway. So there's no way the Rams get the one seed, regardless of outcome. I don't feel bad for them. They should have beat Carolina. They could have not collapsed in Seattle. But there's a very real possibility if San Francisco wins this game, three teams in the same division go 13-4. That's crazy. We thought it was crazy last year when two teams had 14 or 15 wins in a division. But we could have three teams with, I guess, tied for the best record in football, depending on how things shake out in the same division. So, yeah, but yes, to answer your question, the winner of Seahawks and Niners will be the one seed. If it's a tie, it'll be Seattle.
So the question becomes, who gets the one seed in the NFC? Is it the Niners or is it the Seahawks? More or less, we're asking, who do you think wins that Week 18 matchup between Seattle and San Francisco? I think it's San Francisco. I think that Kyle Shanahan has put together one of the more remarkable coach seasons that I have ever seen. With all the injuries that are riddled across this lineup, with they've been without Brandon Ayuk and Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall. They were without Brock Purdy for the better part of a month. They lost Fred Warner and Nick Bosa at the beginning of the year. And they've had injury upon injury across their offensive line. George Kittle has missed time. And I still think they beat Seattle next week, and they get the one seed in the NFC. A really, really impressive, maybe the best coaching Kyle Shanahan's ever done in his career. And that's saying quite a bit for a guy who's been to two Super Bowls.
Yeah, I agree. And so for all the discourse we've had about, hey, if Josh Allen doesn't win it this year, when's he going to win it? Which, coming out of the AFC, I agree. Who's the other guy that Mahomes has tormented in recent years? It's Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. They have to go through a much more loaded NFC class. Yeah, I think this is the year that they get their ring. If I had to pick a Super Bowl winner as of right now, it'd be the 49ers. Mm. I've been on the Rams train all year. They were my pick to represent the conference at the start of the season. But boy, this Niners offense right now, with virtually like next to no wide receivers, is they're on fire, including like Kittle is banged up. You know, Ayuk is just gone. They traded Debo. Like DeMarcus Robinson and Juwan Jennings are what they're working with right now. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan is in his bag right now. I'm picking them to win this Sunday to get the one seed, and I would pick them to go to the Super Bowl if I had to make a pick right now.
Wow. I still am on the Rams train of things. I think that defense is extremely talented for such a young unit. Problem with a young unit is that things can falter on you, like what happened against Carolina. Matthew Stafford is having a remarkable year, and Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua are absolutely ridiculous. Two really solid running backs. The offensive line is solid. I still lean towards the Rams being the team that represents the NFC, but I'm with you. I think the Niners are going to get the one seed in the NFC. And then on the flip side, the AFC comes down ultimately to the Broncos and the Patriots, albeit the Jacksonville Jaguars could still potentially get the one seed with, in the case of if the Broncos and Patriots both lose next week. Incredibly unlikely that that happens. With the Week 18 slate, the Broncos are playing the Chargers, who, as we mentioned earlier, are likely to be resting a couple of their starters, if not a greater chunk of their starters, because their playoff seeding...
That's going to be interesting. The Rams are in the exact same boat on the other side, where if you win, you could be the five. If you lose, you could be the six, but there's not really much difference. So how much stock do you put into the possibility of a home game in the AFC Championship? I think those teams might err towards resting some of their players. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, right now, the Bills play, like, in the AFC side of things, you're talking about that with the Chargers. The Bills play the Jets. Okay, even if the Bills rest their starters, I still think they're going to beat the Jets. So, you know, if you win, you stay above Buffalo, but then you're banking on Houston potentially losing a game, and Houston has the Colts, who have not played well since Daniel Jones, even before Daniel Jones went down. They have completely fallen off the face of the earth in the last month and a half. They've lost six in a row. So at best, you're the five. At worst, you're the seven, right? You're no threat of being eliminated from playoff contention. But on the AFC side of things, if you're the Chargers and you really do think you have a chance to be the five seed, would you rather be the five and play the Steelers or be the six and have to play the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, I'd rather go to Pittsburgh. I think that's the worst team. I think they're worse than the Ravens. I think they're the worst team in the remaining AFC possible field.
Yeah, and that's, I say the Steelers as if they've got a shoe in too. That's still a race that's wide open the AFC North.
It'll be them or a banged up Lamar Jackson or Snoop Huntley. So I think the five seed does have an advantage. Not that Jacksonville is a scary place to go play. I guess the only thing that concerns me for the Chargers is do we go all out? So we're not resting our players. We're not letting them sort of get a mini bye because we know we're not getting the one seed. And then we still lose to Denver, end up as the seven seed, turn around and have to go to Denver again next week in the wild card round. I don't know how much stock a guy like Harbaugh puts in, like, you know, the best play calls and the red zone play calls. You know, we all believe that Andy Reid sort of has some tricks up his sleeve. So like, to what end does John Harbaugh go all out from that respect as well? And I think the Chargers are going to choose to sort of play it conservatively. So all that to say, the Broncos, I think, are going to win the football game. But to get us back on track here, I do think they end up as the one seed.
Yes, yes. I'm in the same boat. So we both have Broncos and Niners as the one seed in each side of this of the NFL. Looking at specific division races, I just mentioned the AFC North. You know, right now the Steelers lead the division at 9-7, but it's not sewn up, right? These two teams actually play each other coming up this week. I believe is that the Sunday night or the Monday night game?
Sunday night.
Sunday night football. And the winner of the game wins the division. So just like the conversation we were having about who gets the one seed in the NFC, Seahawks, Niners, with them playing this weekend, the winner of this game wins the division. Who you got, Steelers or Ravens?
Yeah, it could have been a stinky slate, but we're going to have Panthers and Bucks Saturday afternoon for the division. We're going to have Seahawks and Niners Saturday night for the one seed. A whole bunch of nothing during the day Sunday, and then Steelers Ravens Sunday night. So the standalone games they're good. I'll give the NFL credit for that. I'm taking the Ravens in this game, even if it is Snoop Huntley, just based on what I saw from the Steelers yesterday, and the Ravens defense is nowhere close to the Browns defense, but I don't think the Steelers are going to be some sort, like, I don't think their offense is going to put up 30 points, for example, on Sunday night. So I think what I saw last Saturday from John Harbaugh is, I've learned from my mistakes, and even if it kills us, I will ride Derrick Henry until I can't anymore. So I'm going to feed him 30 times, let him get his two or three scores, and win a 20-16 type of ball game. Give me the Ravens Sunday night.
I'm with you. I'm in the same boat. Yes, the Steelers defense is absolutely more talented than the Ravens defense, especially with all the injuries there in Baltimore. And agree with you again with the Browns having a better defense than what Baltimore is going to bring to the table. But I have questions with this Steelers team, with the reliance so heavily on Aaron Rodgers. Hey, surprise, surprise, I have issues with Arthur Smith's play calling. Why did you average 5.5 yards a carry yesterday and still threw it 40 times with Aaron Rodgers? I mean, Jaylen Warren was running all over that field. 12 carries for 64 yards. You ran it 24 times. You threw it 40. And Aaron Rodgers had 168 yards.
Well, Jaylen Warren also, I think it was Warren on that final fourth down play, was wide open on that little route out of the backfield into the end zone. And Rodgers, who I give more of the blame, targeted MVS for a third straight time. Second and goal, MVS. Third and goal, MVS. Fourth and goal, MVS. And he didn't really look anywhere else. It's like he was trying to, and I know, everyone take a seat. We're going to be shocked that Aaron Rodgers was making a moment about himself and not about the team. But like, it was almost like he was trying to go back to his, I have to hit a fade here to win the game. I'm still that guy. That's what I got from watching Aaron Rodgers. I do not trust him to make the big play anymore. Even how great that's crazy to say. He's had a fantastic career. I do not trust that guy in a big moment. So whether it's Arthur Smith, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, whether it's, you know, no DK Metcalf, whatever you want to say, that Steelers offense, I'm not putting stock in, well, the Ravens are a worse defense than the Browns. I do not trust the Steelers offense at all.
No, this is not 2016 Aaron Rodgers, right? This isn't even 2021 Aaron Rodgers, which is the last time he won an MVP. That was the 37-4 year, 37 touchdowns to 4 picks. I mean, look at the receiving for Pittsburgh in that game yesterday. Pat Freiermuth, 3 catches on 5 targets. Scotty Miller, 3 catches on 7 targets. MVS, 3 catches on 9 targets. Adam Thielen, 2 on 5 targets. Those are some of your leading receivers, and you are missing them left, right, and sideways. His best connection was with Jonnu Smith yesterday. 5 catches, 5 targets, 18 total yards. 18.
Yeah, I think
really
I
set
think
the world on fire there.
I think Aaron Rodgers held the ball for on average just over 2 seconds per play yesterday. I mean, it was a very quick get the snap, get it out, you know, heavy screen game, short routes, maybe a few intermediate routes, you know, of course, until they got on the goal line. And then it is, let's take the top off of this Browns defense. Okay, Arthur Smith. When Denzel Ward is and Denzel Ward's a very good football player, don't get me wrong, but that Browns team is not a good team. And when they're boasting and beating their chests after the game to the media, something went really wrong. I mean, he came out and said pretty much what Sherman said about Crabtree in the 2013 NFC Championship game. He said, I don't know whose decision it was to try me on 3 straight game winning plays, but that was a bold decision. When you're getting a Browns player talking like that, something went really wrong.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, how quickly the Steelers were trying to get the football out. It felt like a deliberate attempt to not let Myles Garrett break the single season sack record. And like at certain points, it was like, okay, you're doing it on purpose. Like every play, there was a tight end on the in line that was double teaming Myles Garrett, and you were still, everything was check down, check down, check down, get the ball out quick. We're running a swing play over here, and it's a screen across the, it was slant route across the middle, whatever it was. It felt like they were deliberately trying to avoid Myles Garrett getting anywhere near the quarterback, which I can't appreciate, but it felt like that was more of a priority than winning the football game was at a certain level.
If Aaron Rodgers laid down and let Myles Garrett break that record, do we think Michael Strahan would have approached Aaron in public the way Gastineau approached Brett Favre in public 20 years later? Anyway, I kid. I put zero stock in the sack record thing. I saw that all over social media yesterday, and it's funny. If the Steelers had clinched a playoff spot prior to yesterday, I would absolutely agree. I think that's a team that's down Darnell Washington, has a 42-year-old quarterback, down DK Metcalf, knows they're playing against a team that has a good pass rush, right? Like, you're going to give Myles Garrett chip help on a lot of plays anyway. I think the Steelers were trying to win that football game, But I think that's the problem. I think they were trying to win the football game and they mustered 6 points in Cleveland. And so I'm picking Baltimore to win this Sunday night. I don't care who plays quarterback for them. I just don't trust that Steelers team at all.
Yeah, I mean, Snoop Hundley played quarterback for the Ravens this week and still put up 41 points because Derrick Henry went for 200 yards. So, yeah. I'm with you. I definitely think, and I don't know what TJ Watt, his availability looks like. I know he's back practicing with the team. Will he be available to play in this week 18 game after everything that he was going through? Maybe that changes things a little bit for Pittsburgh, but I don't think it's enough with the way that Baltimore is playing right now. And, you know, what a fall from grace for us as Chiefs fans. Do we all remember when we were dogging on the Ravens and how poorly their season started and dogging on the Bengals and how poorly their season started and the Dolphins? The Ravens might still make the playoffs. The Dolphins have a better record than the Chiefs do, and the Bengals have the same record that the Chiefs do and might end up with a better record than the Chiefs. Lo and behold, here we are. And yet, Drew did not have the foresight when it came to the Hooters bet to say, hey, but if the Chiefs miss the playoffs, Cody and Alex, you guys have to wear the Hooters outfit as well. Nope. It's just the Chiefs are going to finish with a worse record than the Bengals are, and Drew's still going to have to wear the outfit.
So is that happening next Monday? Do we know when that's happening?
That's a great question, and one that we should definitely get to the bottom of, because I feel like the listeners need to prepare for this.
They do, and that's the next day all three guys are in. So I don't know if they're going to announce on Monday and give them time. I don't think Drew's the kind of guy to get around that. It sounds like the way he's talking is like he knows he's got to wear the costume.
Yeah.
He's preparing for it. So
I agree with you.
I think it's happening. If injuries and draft position weren't a thing, I'd be much more upset about that. The fact that the Chiefs are getting passed or caught by teams True. Like the Dolphins or Bengals. If this was Madden, then we could simulate the season. The Chiefs would have beaten a team like the Titans. They would beat a team this week like the Raiders. I think they might win anyway. But I'm putting not a lot of stock in this. Like, this season got way out of control really quickly. I'm looking at the board right now that we have in the studio that shows wins and losses for each week. We stopped keeping track a few weeks ago and like writing the game. Like that's how.
Yeah. The Chargers game, week 15, it has an L next to it with the score and then in parentheses, ACL. And there's no score. The week 16 game is not on there.
Neither is week 17.
Yeah. Neither was the week 17 game. So the Broncos game, the Titans game,
that's right.
Those are not on there. I highly doubt the Raiders game is going to make that board either. We collectively all just, yeah, we've taken our ball and gone home a little bit.
And those three teams that you're talking about, the Ravens, Bengals, and Dolphins, they've got coaches coaching for their lives as well. So they're also, there's things for them to gain, even if the playoffs are not that. So I all of those things put together make me not worried about that at all. But it is kind of funny how quickly the season turns. I mean, this team has now lost 5 games in a row. Like, they're 6-10.
Yeah.
Those words are crazy to say out loud. It's the truth.
I mean, and it was probably already over before the Mahomes ACL tear, but that was the moment that we all collectively were like, yep, okay, throw the dirt on us, you know. The casket is on, it has been nailed shut. Just throw the dirt on us and leave us here. This thing is over within 2025.
It was Thanksgiving for me. It was the inability to get off the field on third down. It was falling to 6-6, knowing they would have to win 5 straight games or 5 out of their next 6, excuse me. Or maybe they felt something like that.
Yeah.
That was the game where we said, hey, they've got to win out now. And I just didn't believe this team could do that. And then I think the debacle against Houston, I mean, you know, being in that locker room after the game, it was like, okay, this is, I thought it was over well before that Chargers game.
Yeah, it felt like I'm with you on the Thanksgiving game, because it felt like it was a rare occurrence, you know, and especially for that late in the year with all the struggles that had been happening on the offensive side of the football. That was a game that was lost by the defense. And that's a very rare thing for the Chiefs under Steve Spagnuolo. And it felt like, damn, if the defense is losing us football games, we are in a really, really bad place right now in Kansas City. And I can recall after that game, I came in and did this show for a couple of weeks with Alex. And I was like, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
This team's not making the playoffs.
Because that was the first game offensively in a while that things had clicked. Mahomes was doing Mahomes things. Hollywood Brown is hauling in impressive touchdown catches. Rasheed Rice.
A first quarter touchdown.
Rasheed Rice is taking balls to the house. Yes, in the first quarter, like the defense got an early takeaway and things still collapsed. So that was it for me. Well, so we each had the Broncos and Niners getting the one seed. We each are taking the Ravens this Sunday, I believe.
Yep.
Are you picking the Ravens against the Steelers?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I wonder if we see the NFC South game the same way.
Yeah, Panthers, Bucks, you know. This is an interesting game, one that I never thought we would be discussing, not even a month ago. I did not think we'd be saying, you know, Carolina Panthers versus Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who wins the NFC South? I think Carolina wins this football game. I don't know what happened to Baker Mayfield. And I do not look at the box score from yesterday and tell me, oh, Baker looked awesome yesterday. Okay, he threw for 200 yards in the second half when they were down by 3 scores. They were getting worked by the Miami Dolphins for the first 35 minutes of that football game, and Baker figured it out when it was too little too late. This guy was an MVP in the MVP conversation 2 months ago, and he's played like a bottom 10 quarterback in football since. Even with a rookie star and a guy like Emeka Ebuka, and I know that they've had injuries, but you've got Mike Evans back, you've got Godwin back, Ebuka's playing, Bucky Irving's back, and things just aren't clicking at all. I think Todd Bowles is probably going to be looking for a job this offseason, if I'm being completely
100%.
Honest. I think the Carolina Panthers win this football game, and somehow, some way, with Bryce Young at quarterback, they win this division.
So we don't see eye to eye on this. And
okay.
The only reason is I'm going to criticize the other team. It's not because I think the Buccaneers are any different than the picture you just painted. I think the Panthers might be a little bit ahead of schedule. I like their D-line, a couple of, like, I like Horn and McMillan, like, at some really key positions. They have some good young talent, and I think they can live in this wild card 9-10 win range, win the division on a bad year. I think they can live here with Bryce Young and Dave Canales. So I don't think they're a bad football team, but man, I watched a lot of that game against Seattle yesterday. That offense looked anemic for so much of that football game. So my ultimate conclusion is week 18 for the division. Give me Baker Mayfield to make one more play than Bryce Young. That's it. I don't think the Buccaneers are salvaging anything. I think they're going to get worked by maybe 3 scores in the wild card round. I think Bowles it's Todd Bowles, right?
Yep.
Bowles. I didn't know if I said that correctly. I think he's looking for a job here in about 2 weeks. But I think the Buccaneers get sort of a last gasp something this Saturday and win the division.
I think that, I mean, for no other reason, yes, the record struggles the last 2 months and the near collapse that the Buccaneers have endured is a big knock against Todd Bowles. I also think that expletive ridden rant that he went on in the postgame press conference where he called out the team and calling out the offense for not playing well enough when his defense gave up 40 points was sort of like, it was sort of an indicator of things are not, Todd Bowles is losing that locker room. And I don't think there's any question about it. 913-586-7965 is our number. Hey, shout out the NFL though, for this. I mean, the scheduling for this week 18 is picturesque. I mean, putting Panthers, Bucks and Seahawks, Niners as the only two games on Saturday, that's picture perfect scheduling right there. I mean, two division races coming down to the final week of the season. One's going to decide the one seed in the NFC and the division. Absolutely beautiful football to put together. I don't understand why Chiefs Raiders is a late afternoon game. Might be the worst game of the week. I don't quite know. And then, you know, being able to put together that Ravens Steelers game as the Sunday night game. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah, thanks
for flexing work was great.
For the games we want to see in the right spots as well. Thanks for not putting Panthers and Bucks in a primetime 7 o'clock window. I'd rather see the race for the one seed than Bryce Young and Baker Mayfield duke it out to the tune of 15-13, right? Yeah, I think the Chiefs Raiders thing is just a time zone thing. The AFC West race is really just kind of wrapped up, and I think they are just keeping those divisions at the same time. It's gonna be a great slate. I'm looking forward to it.
Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber filling in for the guys along with Nathan Williams producing the show today. Coming up, we're going to have Jordan Foote on with us. He is a Chiefs writer for Heavy Sports, formerly of the Chiefs on Sports Illustrated. We're going to break down probably not the game on Thursday, but the offseason, because there's a lot coming up with this team that we need to discuss. That's next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.